More than 2 million people in the United States have schizophrenia, yet the disorder remains a mystery. Scientists don't know precisely what causes some brains to produce hallucinations, delusions, and disordered thinking. One reason why it's particularly hard to study schizophrenia is that it doesn't seem to occur in animals. That could be changing, though, thanks to a small group of scientists at the National Institutes of Health. They're using genetic engineering to reproduce some of the symptoms of schizophrenia in mice. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
Deep inside a tall brick building on the NIH campus in Bethesda, Maryland, one laboratory has become home to mice that are extremely unusual.
So we're going to go in through this locked facility door here.
Jacqueline Crawley is the scientist in charge. She prepares visitors in a changing room that acts like an airlock between the outside world and the mouse lab.
We're going to gown up in jumpsuits. We're going to look like astronauts with hairnets and gloves and booties and face masks.
It's all to protect the animals, not us. On the other side of the door are hundreds of mice carrying genes that have been altered in ways that affect behavior. Crawley leads the way. She points down a long, gleaming corridor lined with doorways.
This is our behavioral suite. That's a series of test rooms that we're going to go into and look at the behavioral tasks with mice.
These mice have been genetically altered to mimic the symptoms of people with all kinds of mental problems. Some act anxious. They won't explore exposed areas. Others show a symptom associated with depression. They give up quickly when placed in stressful situations. But perhaps the most intriguing mouse models are those used to study schizophrenia. Dr. Thomas Insel, director of the National Institute of Mental Health, explains why.
When you look at the use of a mouse to model human disorders, there are some places where it's fairly straightforward. I don't think most people would have a problem understanding that mice can have seizures that look a lot like human seizures. But the question comes up all over and over again, do mice develop schizophrenia? What would a hallucinating mouse look like? And the answer to that question is that no one really knows.
Jacqueline Crawley doesn't expect to solve that mystery. She says the goal in her lab is to identify strains of mice whose behavior has something in common with people who have schizophrenia.
Modeling a human mental illness really involves finding a symptom in the human disease that has some analogy to a mouse behavior.
For some brain disorders, the mouse analogy is very good. Thomas Insel says a genetic problem called Rett syndrome is one example. It leaves young girls socially withdrawn and unable to speak.
These young women will sit in silence, wring their hands, and often stare off into space.
A few years ago, scientists discovered that a mutation on a single gene was responsible for Rett syndrome. Insel says they were able to create a model of the syndrome by altering that same gene in mice.
The mouse model also developed many of the features of this syndrome, including some of the brain changes. But also when these mice were held up in the air by their tails, they would begin to rub their paws together in a way that was just strikingly like the human syndrome. Who would have thought that you'd find such a small detail of the human syndrome recreated in a mouse model?
Scientists are using this mouse model to search for treatments for Rett syndrome. Insel says schizophrenia presents a much tougher challenge. It's probably caused by many genes, and of course there's no way to know if you've engineered a mouse that hears voices. So scientists are concentrating on aspects of the disorder that could be seen in a mouse, like a tendency to startle. Fred Fries knows all about that. He's a psychologist in Summit County, Ohio, who has battled schizophrenia for more than 30 years.
Certainly, for a good percentage of us, we just startle much more easily than normals. I know in my own office place, if someone comes to my door, I will almost always jump. And I just hope that I don't have coffee in my hand when that occurs.
Scientists like Jacqueline Crawley are working with mice designed to startle in a way that is specific to schizophrenia. When a normal brain knows a loud sound is coming, it reacts less strongly than if the sound is a total surprise. Crawley explains it this way. Imagine you're on a quiet drive through the country. Suddenly there's the sound of a crash. You flinch. You blink. Now, Crawley says, imagine you had a warning that the crash was coming.
So if you heard a gradual squeal of brakes right before that crash, you would still pay a lot of attention to the crash, but you wouldn't have as much of a sudden startle response.
That diminished response is known as prepulse inhibition, and it's much less pronounced in people with schizophrenia. In a cramped room lined with plastic mouse cages, Crawley demonstrates a special chamber used to identify the mice that lack prepulse inhibition.
This equipment delivers a sudden loud tone, and the mouse is sitting right here quietly. And when the tone sounds, the mouse will flinch. And there's a sensor underneath where the mouse is sitting that measures the amplitude of the whole body flinch.
The mouse hears two different types of sound, with stretches of silence in between. One is like the car crash with no warning. The second type of sound provides a barely audible warning, just a split second before the loud noise. Don't expect to hear much of a difference on your radio. A computer keeps a precise record of each flinch, and Crawley says the results are clear. Several genetically modified mice flinch even after the warning sound, just the way someone with schizophrenia would. That's an impressive feat of genetic engineering, but it will be useful only if scientists prove that tweaking the mouse genes has affected the same brain circuits that are disrupted in schizophrenia. The evidence so far is encouraging. Drugs that help people with schizophrenia also help the flinching mice. Insel says that suggests this mouse model could be used to test new drugs, and he says eventually it could lead to entirely new ways of treating schizophrenia and other disorders that damage the brain over many years.
If you want to treat these disorders, what you want to do is get in very early, before the damage is done. And the availability of mouse models allows you to do that. It allows you to see this developing and to ask, what are the various steps in the process before there is cell death, before there are pathways that are no longer functioning.
Jacqueline Crawley says there are plenty of reasons to be skeptical about mouse models of schizophrenia. For one thing, there's evidence that the human disease affects a part of the brain that is relatively undeveloped in mice. But she says the mouse models have enormous potential because they could point to the very genes that are involved in the development of schizophrenia. For people who have the disorder, like psychologist Fred Fries, this work offers real hope that scientists may eventually understand what's gone wrong with their brains.
I think it's really good that this research is being done because certainly when I first came down with it, people knew very little about what schizophrenia was like and were beginning to learn. So this is very helpful. I'm very enthusiastic about all this. And I'm very indebted to those mice.
Drugs for schizophrenia have improved steadily in the past decade or so, but good mouse models should speed up the development of dramatically better treatments. John Hamilton, NPR News, Bethesda, Maryland.